Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. Time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, July 23rd. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, an affiliate of Albany Med, with more than 20 locations across the greater Saratoga region. Saratoga Hospital, people you trust, care you deserve. SaratogaHospital.org for information. Joining us this afternoon for Medical Monday is Dr. Joseph Popper of Nathan LaTower Hospital. He's here to discuss the treatment of the neck, back, and spine. We always get a lot of calls, and we will today. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. When you wake up in the morning, does your back hurt? Dr. Popper and all your calls coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello, once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us on the Medical Monday to discuss treatment of the neck, back, and spine is Dr. Joseph Popper of Nathan LaTower Hospital. Dr. Popper is an orthopedic surgeon who specializes in cervical spine surgery and minimally invasive lumbar procedures. He's completed a combined neurosurgical and orthopedic spine surgery fellowship with the Mayo Clinic. He's a graduate of the University of Washington School of Medicine. Dr. Popper, welcome back to Medical Monday.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, let me tell you how this works. There are already three people on the phone. These go relatively quickly. So if you have something you want us to talk about or to question about, the time to call is now, not later, because it doesn't get less busy. This is the best time right now. 1-800-348-2551. Jim in Malta. All right, Jim in Malta, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's amazing. I just turned 75, and how often you have something on the show that now applies to me. I've never had back problems until about 8 weeks ago when I got terrible back pain. And I went to the doctor, and I was diagnosed as having stenosis, which they already knew about, and by scoliosis. And I was given a steroid injection. And it's starting to wear out, and some of the pain is coming back, but not as severe. And I was just wondering, how often can you have steroid injections, and is there an alternative to that? My brother had mentioned something about radio ablution.
Yeah, it really depends on. So the steroid injection that you had, was that an epidural steroid injection or was that a?
Yes, epidural.
Okay. And are you mostly having back pain or leg pain?
Just back. And after the injection, the pain didn't go away completely, but I'd have dull aches, like if I went for a walk or an easy hike. Then about a week ago, occasionally I start getting a slight sharp pain in the lower back. And so I'm assuming the injection's wearing off.
So just to answer your question about the epidural steroid injections, those are something that we do oftentimes prior to surgery or just to help patients as a non-surgical method of treatment. There's really two types of epidural steroid injections, and those are really different locations in which they could put the steroid in the spine. One's called an intralaminar, and the other one's called a transforaminal injection. They're safe to do every 3 months as long as they're spaced out that far. Sometimes some pain doctors will do them closer together, but I've always tried to space them out every 3 months. So if you can get more than 3 months out of one injection, then I would consider that an effective treatment. If it only lasts 3 days, then I would probably look to do a different treatment.
Well, this has been like this. It's been working for about 6 weeks.
So
June 6th, I had the injection.
So that's pretty good. I would like it to last longer. There's other types of injections people do as well. And you had mentioned something about an ablation, but a facet block or medial branch block is really a little bit different, and the goal of that injection is to try to alleviate pain from the arthritic joint in the back called the facet joint. And if
I was just so upset because things I normally took for granted, like loading the kayak on top of my car, I wouldn't even dare do again, or even putting the bike in the trunk of my car. When I do that, a few hours later, I get backache. So I guess maybe those days are over.
Well, it may be worthwhile trying a different injection because your first injection was an epidural steroid injection. If the pain's really coming from the facet and you didn't have complete relief from your first injection, there may be another injection that may give you better relief.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it,
Jim. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And now, a little late to the program today, is Jim from Matamoros. Okay, Jim, you're on. Go ahead.
Since a lot of pain is due to inflammatory processes, how effective are NSAIDs versus corticosteroids?
Well, I think NSAIDs are highly effective.
What are they?
They're non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So commonly this would be things like ibuprofen, Advil, Aleve, naproxen. And there are other prescription ones that are dosed in a little more convenient fashion, something called Mobic or Meloxicam I often use because that's just a once a day and it's convenient for patients. But I do think for generalized spondylosis or arthritis in the spine, those are very effective and generally well tolerated. Corticosteroids, I think, are okay to use. We could use those in both an oral form that comes in a pill. Usually I use them in what's called a Medrol dose pack because it's easy for patients to take. It's a short course of oral steroids for 6 days. I do think that the side effects of steroids for long-term use are real. We don't really use those anymore, but they used to use them for things like rheumatoid arthritis when there was really no better treatment. Now we have better drugs available, but there are real side effects for long-term use of corticosteroids. I think short duration.
What are those long-term effects?
So they can cause weakening of the bone. They can cause osteoporosis. Oh. They can cause weight gain. They can cause problems with blood sugar regulation.
Okay. Great. Okay, Jim, thank you very much for your good call. All right, 1-800-348-2551. We've got three calls, and as you can see, we just did three. They go very, very quickly, so you want to get in. Now's the time to do it. 1-800-348-2551, and we'll go to the wisdom of Saul in Glenmont. Saul.
Hi. I've had back issues for some 40 years. I've had MRIs done. The diagnosis initially was spinal stenosis, disc degeneration. I had two herniated discs, one of which seemed to heal on its own. The pain was always in my lower back. I saw a chiropractor for many years. I've learned to live with it. It's not constant. It goes away. Lately, the pain has moved down lower into the left, mostly in the left side, in my butt, down my lower leg, and into the side of my left knee. I'm just wondering if things have changed, if I should see somebody else, or if it's just generally arthritis.
Those are great questions. So before, it sounds like you had predominantly back pain, which could be related to the degenerating discs. It could be related to arthritis in the spine. Spinal stenosis may have been present, but the symptoms.
And what is that, Doc? I'm sorry.
So stenosis means narrowing, and really you can have that narrowing can happen in the lumbar spine. It could happen in the cervical spine. When it happens in the lumbar spine, it's called lumbar spinal stenosis.
And what is lumbar spine again?
It's the low back.
Okay.
So the nerves would get pinched in the low back, and what commonly happens is people feel limited in their ability to walk. So when they stand or walk, they get pain that goes into their butt and down the backs of their legs, maybe a sense of heaviness in their legs, maybe numbness and tingling as well, that forces them to have to sit down. And when it becomes pretty severe, patients can be very impaired and not be able to walk very short distances. If you have predominantly one side, like your left side, that's hurting worse, something may have changed. If it's going down your leg, that sounds to me more like the nerve may be getting pinched or irritated. So if you haven't had an MRI in a while, an updated MRI may be a good idea to see if there is significant evidence of a nerve being pinched now that you may not have had before?
One thing I neglected to mention, usually it's worse in the morning. Sometimes when I wake up, I'm tilted to the left side. I can't straighten up. If I walk or exercise for a while, it usually eases and I can straighten up. And the other way that I can ease it is if I roll on a foam roller, or if I actually take a softball and roll that on my butt where I can feel the pain and I get deep into the tissue. And after I'm done with that little workout, I usually can stand up straight and the tilting is gone and a lot of the pain is gone.
And that sounds more like the arthritis or degenerative changes, because what you describe is kind of what some people refer to as a gelling phenomena. But overnight, or when you're inactive for a long period of time, you could imagine that everything kind of stiffens up. And then once you start moving again or do your exercise or stretching routine, you find that everything loosens up a little bit and you can straighten up more readily.
Okay, Saul, thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a little breaklet. We're going to come back and talk to Laura and Mark and Diane and John. What?
Support comes from Villa Veritas Foundation, Gerhongsen, New York, an inpatient rehabilitation and wellness center providing healing focusing on the body, mind, and spirit for those with various forms of addictions. VillaVeritas.org for inquiries. New York Oncology Hematology introducing new four-ring mobile PET and CT. Available in Albany, Amsterdam, Clifton Park, Hudson, and Schenectady. NewYorkOncology.com to schedule. Travels with Sarah, organizing private African safaris with authentic tented camps and lodges, accompanied by Africa specialist Sarah Kearns. Sarah'sSignatureSafaris.com. And from Love Apple Farm, Route 9H, Ghent. Farm market, cafe, bakery, homemade donuts and pies, local products, cooking supplies, you pick fruits and vegetables, petting zoo, playground, catered parties and groups. Open 7 days, LoveAppleFarm.com.
And we are back, and we are delighted to be here with Dr. Papper, Joseph Papper of Nathan Littower Hospital. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We're going to get to all of your calls. If you do it now, you'll get in. If you don't, well, that's your problem. Okay, now we're going to go to Diane in Sharon, Connecticut, who's been loyally hanging on. Diane, you're on.
Thank you. I've had, stenosis, mild to moderate in the spinal canal, up and down my back. Over the years, I've done physical therapy and chiropractic, and over time that's helped. But in the last 2 years, I have a severe bilateral neuronal foraminal stenosis in my 4-5-5-6 cervical. And my primary symptom is not the occasional, radicular pain into my arm, but the headaches. And they've really, really been a bane on my existence. I saw one surgeon, a New England orthopedic. He said surgery is too risky until you're peeing in your pants. Pardon. That's what he said to me. I've been researching, online, and sometimes I see something come up that says there's, I'm assuming that surgeon was referring to the ADL surgery, which is the front, right, with the...
You mean an ACDF?
I'm assuming he meant the one that where they make the cut in the front.
Yeah, the front is called an ACDF, which stands for anterior cervical discectomy and fusion, which is a commonly performed surgery for the neck, where usually for either stenosis or narrowing, again, pinching on the spinal cord or a nerve root, and then to unpinch that or decompress it, you have to remove the disc from the front and then put a spacer, either of plastic, bone, or metal, and then a small plate to maintain that disc height after you remove the disc.
So I didn't catch the point about peeing in your pants. What's that about now?
Well, what he was referring to was since I have mild to moderate stenosis in the spinal cord, that right. It's not to the point where I'm incontinent.
Oh, I see.
Or the radicular pain that goes down one side of my neck into my shoulder and arm is so bad that I can't take it. I'm assuming that's what he meant. What I have that seems to me to be different is the severity in the foramina, where the bone spurs are in the canal on the side of the vertebrae, where the nerve offshoot. And I was hoping that there might be something minimally invasive like there is in the lumbar spine, you know, where they clean out the bone spurs. Is there something?
There is. So, again, the reason to have surgery done would be someone with radicular pain or pain going down the arm, which is like sciatica, right. Analogous right. to that. And
right.
if you have tried conservative treatment for at least 6 weeks, those things being mm-hmm. like physical therapy, possibly injections, and have failed to improve, then surgery could be an option. It really depends on your symptoms and what your MRI shows. But assuming you have radiculopathy or pain going down your arm from the nerve being pinched. It could be unpinched either by doing the anterior cervical discectomy infusion or a surgery, an anterior-based surgery. Something that you were alluding to, something more minimally invasive, would be probably a posterior-based surgery, which is called a laminoforaminotomy, which all that means right. is going in. That can be done through a tube, which is a small tubular retractor that goes in. You can visualize where the bone is overlying the foramen, which is the tunnel where the nerve goes out.
Right.
And you can shave right. a little window in the bone and decompress the nerve that way. And really, it depends what the nerve compression is from. And so that, again, depends on what your MRI shows and where the compression is coming from.
Okay.
Diane, thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And off we go to Lauren Coxsackie. Okay, Lauren Coxsackie, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling regarding my husband. He has spinal stenosis, and after a series of injections that were unsuccessful, he had a lumbar laminectomy. His neck is also bad with pain in the shoulder, which is severe enough to wake him up sometimes, and the injection hasn't worked. I just wondered if there was conservative surgery that would help him.
This is Alan. My question is, how old is your husband?
He's 64.
Okay. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
Yeah, Laura, that's a great question. So, again, I think treatment options would be starting conservative, but it sounds like he's done some of those things. And without having reviewed his MRI, it's hard to say, but if he has predominantly shoulder pain or pain that's coming from a nerve that's being pinched, then there is surgical options if he's failed conservative treatment. Again, not as extensive as a laminectomy, but kind of what I talked about before, being to decompress that nerve can be done from the back of the neck, which would be called a laminoforaminotomy, or it could be done from the front, but it really depends on what his MRI shows. If he didn't really respond to an injection at all, even temporarily, and I don't know whether this is true pain from nerve compression, sometimes a useful test is a EMG or nerve conduction test to help us correlate his MRI findings with potentially nerve pinching to really demonstrate that this is, in fact, a pinched nerve that is going to improve with surgery and not just pain from arthritis in his neck.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll have him pursue that with his doctor.
Thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
All right, now to John in Florida, Massachusetts. John in Florida, Massachusetts, you're on.
Hi, doctors.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
I've got major lower back pain, but it comes and goes. I did a lot of dirt bike riding when I was younger, and there's been a lot of collapse in my lower spine. At some point, I had an MRI probably about a decade ago, and all the discs showed up a different color. And I asked the doctor, I said, why are my discs at the lower four? I don't know which numbers they are, but they were like dark gray. And they said they're basically dead. Obviously, they're not totally dead, but every now and then I get sharp pain. I had a bulging disc at some point, too. But it'll be fine. I try to exercise. I walk 4 miles a day. I ride my bike. I try to do all that. And when I do have a flare-up, I take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen 3 times a day, and I ice it immediately because I know that I'm going to have a flare-up. But typically, you know, I don't want to take the ibuprofen for more than like 10 days, and I'm allergic to steroids. So I can't have a shot in my spine because my heart rate increases and my blood pressure goes crazy. So is there any other thing besides ibuprofen and ice when I do have a flare-up, what I can do? Basically, that's what I'm looking for.
That's a great question, John. So what your MRI, just to touch on that first, what you were describing, the changes in colors in the disc, is probably just disc degeneration. So the discs in your low back really have two components. They have an outer thick covering called the annulus, and then they have a nucleus, which is kind of more of a jelly material that's within this shock absorber in your lower back. And when those start to degenerate, the earliest change is normally the nucleus or the jelly material within the disc has a white appearance on the MRI. And as they start to degenerate, the earliest sign that we sometimes see is the loss of that. So they turn more gray or black. Sometimes people refer to it as a black disc. And that's just something you see on the MRI when the disc is starting to show signs of early degeneration. Again, what you describe is very common. People will have back pain for years and years. Not every day, but it will flare up for whatever reason, being that they maybe lifted something, did something wrong, or could have even just done something as simple as slept on it wrong. I think you're doing the right things by trying to remain active. I think maintaining a strong core, doing regular cardiovascular exercise are all the things that I would recommend doing. I usually give patients a Medrol pack, but you can't have steroid because of your allergy, so that kind of rules that out. I think an anti-inflammatory, like the way you're taking it in a kind of a prescription dose, being 800 of ibuprofen, I would probably take that scheduled like you do for, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks when you do get a flare. The only other thing I might add is a muscle relaxer I sometimes give patients for that real acute muscle spasm that can be associated with their back when they throw it out.
Well, that sounds right on target. What I'm already doing. The most recent flare up I had, I was hoeing a row in the garden actually, and I was standing with 1 foot in one row, and my left foot in the other row, and reaching sideways and doing that twisting motion, which brought me right to my knees. And I actually had to crawl to the house to get to the house for help, and, you know, immediately threw ice on it and took some ibuprofen. But, when it does happen, it happens quickly, and it's just like an ice pick. You know, it's crazy. But
It sounds like you're doing all the right things for it, though.
John, thank you very much. Okay, so now 1-800-348-2551, and we go to Mark in Salem. All right, Mark in Salem, you're on.
Hello, Alan. Hello, hey. Dr. Popper. This is you were operated on me October 16th last year, L4 disc, and I want to tell you that I have had absolutely no problems afterwards. I did not have to take any pain medication after the operation, and it was like a miracle. I put my feet in hot water and I couldn't feel it, and I put my fingers in the water, and gradually my feet said, oh, it's hot. And after that, everything sort of came back gradually, and I've been able to pretty much resume normal activities without any problem whatsoever. But I have another problem that's cropped up in my upper back, which is so common with lower back problems. My neck and shoulders on both sides. In the daytime, when I'm standing, I'm fine. At night, when I'm lying down, I will get a pain on both arms, either one or the other. It's not in the joint. It's below the joint. It's more where the muscle attaches. And it's a throbbing pain similar to sciatica. And I'm wondering if it might be from a disc higher up.
Yeah, that's great, Mark. I'm glad you're doing really well. Sorry for
your problem. Yeah, you and I talked about this when I saw you last.
How far down your arm does the pain travel?
It starts in the front of the shoulder and then goes around the back and goes down to my elbow.
Goes down to the elbow. So, you know, it's the same.
And it's a throbbing, like almost like a sciatic pain, but it's like it's not associated with my heartbeat. It's just a pain that comes in a wave and then goes away and comes in a wave and goes away. And
okay,
it can
Mark,
be either way.
Hey, Mark, we got about a dozen people waiting to get on, so I want the doc to have a chance to answer.
Sure.
We can move ahead. Go ahead.
So what I would say, the same with the low back, it's often hip pain and low back pain are often very closely related. It's sometimes difficult to distinguish the two. Same with neck pain. Could it be a pinched nerve? Unlikely to have a pinched nerve causing pain going in both shoulders. It could be related to your rotator cuff or a problem like tendonitis. Really, you know, an MRI or some imaging along with a careful examination could really help us discern that. But the fact that you describe when you're laying down, achy pain in the shoulder that doesn't go below the elbow, that's bad at night. A lot of people with rotator cuff pathology describe a very similar type of pain.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, Marie in Liberty. All right, Marie in Liberty. You're on, Marie.
Yes, yes. I will try to get to the point, and I'll try to make
Great.
It fast. I'm very concerned, doctor, about this pain-relieving drug Advil, which can be bought over the counter. And the reason I'm concerned, I have a first cousin who is now 62 years old, but 2 years ago, when she was 60 years old, she had a very bad experience with Advil. She had arthritis. And so anyway, so what happened in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, she wakes up with this tremendous pain in her stomach. She thought she had diarrhea. She goes to the bathroom, sits on the toilet. It turns out it's blood coming out of her rectum. And she stood up to see what was in the toilet. She felt so weak, she landed on the floor, the bathroom floor. She and her husband called for an ambulance. Okay. So she was in the hospital in Pennsylvania for 4 days. They ran all kinds of tests, colonoscopy, see if she has cancer of the colon and all this and that. At the end of the 4 days, 3 doctors come in to see her, including a Chinese doctor, and they said they determined she had a hole in her colon. And they said the hole in the colon was caused by your taking this Advil for your arthritic pain. And the Chinese doctor said, I feel it should be taken off the market. And I wonder how you – do you agree with this Chinese doctor?
I don't think it should be taken off the market, no. I do worry about patients who had a history of a gastric ulcer or a very sensitive stomach. I worry about anti-inflammatories in that population. But I do have many patients that take it.
And no problem.
And have no problems whatsoever.
Now, one thing I want to mention is her mother, who lived to be in her 90s, her mother, Mary Ann's mother, as a younger woman, she had diverticulitis. So I'm wondering if my cousin inherited a colon that's maybe not that strong to tolerate something like Advil.
A perforation of the colon down that far in the large intestine sounds to me more like related to diverticulosis or something like that, diverticulitis. Unlikely to be related to the anti-inflammatory. What I will say is taking it with food or oftentimes people who have a sensitive stomach or if I have an older patient, I will often tell them to take either an H2 blocker, which is something for the stomach called ranitidine that you can buy over the counter, or a medication like Prilosec, which you could also buy over the counter. And if you take those, that can offer some protective effects for the stomach when you do take an anti-inflammatory.
Thank you, Marie. All right, 1-800-348-2551. We'll try to get a real fast one in here, Joseph. Let's go to Linda in Saratoga Springs. Linda, you're on. It's got to be quick now. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll be quick. I'm secondary to steroid injections in my back. I have pain right down my leg, my thigh, and my calf specifically. Are there any topical treatments to help with this?
There are some topical treatments. I don't know that I use them routinely. We have some topical anti-inflammatories that people that are available. Again, I don't use them routinely. To me, it sounds like you have, if you have pain that radiates down your leg, that that's likely a pinched nerve coming from your low back, and probably probably should have an MRI if you don't have that already.
So are there any new pain treatments besides the injections, the steroidal injections epidurally? Are there any other treatments?
It really depends on what your MRI shows.
Well, it's the pinched nerve and the lumbar regions, like 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah, so again, the main treatments are going to be oral medications, physical therapy, and injections. And then for those who don't get better, who have significant MRI findings that correlate with your symptoms, then there are surgical options to take care of that.
Okay, thank you, Linda. We're going to take a short break now, and we will be right back for Casey and Danny and Karen and Brian and Robin and Carolyn and Rich and Leah and Diane.
Support comes from Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival in the Berkshires, presenting the African and Caribbean-influenced dance of Ronald K. Brown, set to Arturo O'Farrell's Latin Jazz, played by a live ensemble. July 25th through the 29th, jacobspillow.org. Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the capital region, practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital. ACTSURG.com. Merritt Bookstore, Millbrook, an independent bookshop with a full selection of books and toys, welcomes artist-author Maud White Saturday, July 28th at 10:30 at Millbrook Farmers Market, MerrittBookstore.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now, new American-made frames. Where eyewear is an art, VisionExcelEyeCare.com. And from Fadigan's Nursery, Latham, New York, featuring a variety of berry bushes, annuals, perennials, flowering shrubs, conifers, and gardening guidance to the home gardener. Independent since 1920, Fadigans.com.
Okay, thanks, Zach, and we're back. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the third part of the program, and it's got to go fast, and we ask you to present your problems succinctly and have the doctor do the same. We'll go to Caroline in New Paltz, or Carolyn in New Paltz. Carolyn, you're on.
Yes. Hi, doctor. I'm calling about, I have recently been diagnosed with trigeminal neuralgia, which is something I never knew anything at all about, but I'm sure you do. And I'm just dealing with just horrible, horrible pain when I have a flare-up of it. It's been suggested that I take Neurontin, which I currently am, 800 milligrams per day. I just wondered if you could give me any insight into what is happening to me. When I have a flare-up, I feel like somebody absolutely took a knife and stabbed me, and that it's on the right side of my face.
Who diagnosed you, Carolyn, with the trigeminal neuralgia?
I was diagnosed in two ways. One, by being so much pain that I ended up in the emergency room. And they did all sorts of tests and this and that, and then my report when I left was trigeminal neuralgia.
Have you seen a neurologist?
Well, I have an appointment actually next week for that, but also my primary physician that I've seen for a number of years also gave me that diagnosis. But I am seeing a neurologist next week.
Okay. Yeah, so trigeminal neuralgia, that is a nerve that comes into the face, and you can have compression or damage to that nerve. It's not something that I treat, being an orthopedic surgeon or even a spine surgeon.
Right.
Gabapentin is a medication I'm familiar with. I think it is effective for nerve-type pain. And it's generally, well tolerated. I think seeing a neurologist would be appropriate to see what other options may be available for you.
Okay, Carolyn, thank you. All right, now to Diane in Little Falls. All right, Diane in Little Falls, go ahead. You're on.
Hello, I was calling about there was a woman who called earlier who was worried about taking NSAIDs. I'm in my upper 60s now, and I took NSAIDs for many years for back pain, and ended up having exploratory surgery because nobody could find out what my abdominal pain was, and it turned out that I had my ileum, ileocecal valve in the bowel was full of scar tissue. And I had a lot of rectal bleeding that they never determined the source, but it was, you know, once every few months.
Okay,
so
Diane, I know you have a very compelling story. However, we were trying to get to an awful lot of people here, so
yes,
can we get to the bottom line question?
Instead of taking NSAIDs, I have switched to a turmeric phytosome. I took turmeric for years. It didn't seem to help, but I kept trying. It's called Mareva. It's put out by many different companies, and it works quite well.
Is it over the counter?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. It's
Diane,
an herbal.
Diane, thanks for the suggestion. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now we go to Casey in Saratoga. All right, Casey, your turn.
Hi, thank you. I had neck pain for quite a long time, and I had this knot in my neck that just never seemed to go away. So eventually I went to a chiropractor, and I asked him about the knot in my neck. He said, "What knot?" I was like, "The one right here." He said, "Oh, that's one of your vertebrae twisted in your neck." He seemed very nonchalant about it. Is there something I should do or could do? My neck still doesn't feel very well, but he doesn't seem to be suggesting anything specific.
I'm not really sure what that means, that your vertebrae is twisted. I would really have to look at your usually I start with basic imaging, being just a plain x-ray, two views, one from the front, one from the side. Some people have something called a spondylolisthesis, which just means a slipping forward of one bone on the other. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's any manipulation or something that you're going to do on the outside of someone's body that's going to put that back into place. Now, I'm not saying you have that, but I don't really know what they mean by that being twisted.
He seemed to indicate that it was basically one of the vertebrae had rotated out of position, like as like almost rotated to the left.
Did you have x-rays?
Aren't round, so that no, I didn't.
Yeah,
he was just feeling it, and that was his opinion.
I think that would be the first step. X-rays are pretty easy to obtain. They're pretty inexpensive, and that's probably what I would do if you came in to see me. I would order just x-rays to start and then go from there.
If it was like rotated like that, is it a reasonable thing to get it put back, and is that like something major, or is that fairly minor?
No, I really don't know what that means to get it put back, so it really depends what your symptoms would be.
Okay.
Okay,
thanks very much.
Thanks very much. All right, Casey. All right, now we'll go. I'm looking at the number of how long people have been hanging on. And number 8 is Rich in Whitesboro. Rich, you're on.
Oh, thank you very so much, gentlemen. I just had a quick question on MRIs of lower spine when this pinched nerve possibly involved. How does the doctor decide whether or not to order contrast with an MRI?
That's a great question, Rich. I think for me, most MRIs I obtain are without contrast. The two reasons I really have to order an MRI with contrast, the contrast agent used for MRI is called gadolinium. And what that does is it gives us some enhancement of certain structures that we're looking for. If someone's had previous surgery on their lumbar spine or their low back, then I usually like one with contrast. because what that allows you to do is distinguish between scar tissue formation and a new disc herniation that may be present in the spine. The other reason I would get contrast is if I'm worried about a tumor or something like that in someone's spine. Again, that would not be common, but those are really the reasons to get contrast. Otherwise, you can, most of what you are trying to diagnose as far as degenerative pathology in the spine can be done with a non-contrast MRI.
Okay, thank you, Rich. All right, now hanging on for the next longest is Brian in Duanesburg. Okay, Brian, you're on.
How you doing, doctor? Just real quick, I had a motor vehicle accident in 2011. I had herniated C3-4-5 and a pinched ulnar in my lower arm. My orthopedic surgeon who did shoulder surgery recently did a cortisone injection in the elbow, and I think it wore off, but now my whole hand, like my fingers, are numb and pins and needles in the fingers.
Brian, which finger? Do you feel it more on one side of the hand than the other?
My right side now.
Like your pinky side of the hand?
Nope, my thumb and pointer finger. It goes all the way to my ring finger.
Okay. A lot of time, have you had an EMG test? Okay, because a lot of times the EMG, did the EMG show anything significant?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. So numbness in the hand can really be, it sounds like a nerve. So that could be either from a pinched nerve or it could be from an old injury, like a chronic injury to the nerve. It can be pinched from the neck or it could be pinched anywhere from the neck all the way to the hand. A common site of nerve pinching or compression would be at the cubital tunnel, which is right as the nerve, as your ulnar nerve crosses the elbow. Another site of compression, more for the thumb and index finger, would be something called carpal tunnel syndrome, where the median nerve gets pinched as it crosses the wrist. Really, doing a careful history and physical examination in conjunction with that nerve test, you should be able to sort out where the source of your nerve compression is coming from. But it definitely sounds like a pinched nerve.
All right. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And we are off to Danny in Troy. Danny, you're on.
Hello, doc. Hey, left side of my foot, pinky toe and the whole left outside of my foot, numbness, kind of weirdness, like it just came awake from being asleep,
mm-hmm.
and weirdness up my hamstring, weakness in the calf. Somebody said sciatic nerve. I carried a bunch of shingles up a ladder onto a roof, and I was sleeping on an old mattress right around the time. It happened years ago. I've just been living with it, just kind of because it doesn't incapacitate me, but it's not fun. I think you might have answered some of it. MRI might be the
probably the that's it, it does sound like sciatica or a pinched nerve, and another name for that would be radiculopathy. These are all kind of described the same thing. The MRI would really show us what's going on and how significant it is, but really I would base treatment off of your symptoms. And if you think you can function, you don't have progressive weakness, you don't have a foot drop, and you're doing okay living your life with the amount of pain you're in, then I may not even suggest anything other than maybe some physical therapy, possibly an epidural steroid injection if you think it's severe enough.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danny. 1-800-348-2551. And now we are off to Robin in Shelburne Falls. Robin, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, doctor. I'll try to make this brief. I was diagnosed recently with end-stage osteoarthritis in both hips. I'm 64 years old. I've never had surgery, but I have had chronic lower back issues in the past. I know stenosis and a pretty severe sciatica that's been ongoing. And I am also a celiac since 2012, and I think I might be symptomatic for Sjogren's. So I was wondering about the immune side of it, but more importantly, the back issues, since it's so close to the hips. Should I be, how worried should I be about surgery when I have chronic lower back issues with hip surgery and really, immune issues?
Yeah, the immune issues, if you have some type of autoimmune disease or some dysfunction in your immune system, the only thing
which I do.
Yeah, I think it still would be okay to undergo hip surgery. I think unless you're on a medication that suppresses your immune system, then consideration of that, when to go off that type of medication around the time of surgery to kind of minimize your risk of infection would be important. As far as if people had back problems and sciatica as well as hip arthritis, I would probably address whichever one was more symptomatic first. I don't know if there's a right answer doing the hips first or the low back.
Right. It's kind of confusing. The hips really affect my ability to walk normally now. My knees are starting to bother me, but the back, chronic back, has always been there. And
No, Doc, how do we know when we have lower back pain, whether it's on the right side or left side, whether it's hips or whether it's back?
A lot of times what I like to do is do an injection, and the easiest one to do is to do an intra-articular hip injection or an injection into the hip joint, and that serves two purposes. It really serves a diagnostic role, because if we put the medicine in your hip, it's oftentimes we'll have a radiologist do it or I'll do it myself. We put in a little bit of contrast material, and we can see that contrast material fill within the hip joint itself. There's a little capsule around the hip that's kind of like a water balloon, and you could verify that you're in the correct place. So if we put the cortisone medicine into the hip along with some numbing medicine, usually something like lidocaine or a local anesthetic, and your pain goes away, then we know that is from the hip and nothing else.
Right.
And that's the contribution from the hip. So, and then we hope that steroid gives you some lasting relief as well, and that would be the therapeutic benefit of the shot. But oftentimes, if you're end-stage bone-on-bone osteoarthritis of the hip, the injection may only last as long as the numbing medicine's in there and then may wear off.
Okay, thank you, Robin. Let's go to Aliza in Schenectady. We're really down to the end of the program now. Aliza, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question on spondylolisthesis. My kid has been diagnosed 2 years now. It's kind of scarred over, never will heal. Does it make sense for him to play soccer with a brace on?
I probably wouldn't play with the brace on. Spondylolisthesis, what that means is it refers to a pars defect, and that's just a small area in the bone. It's most commonly at L5-S1, and that's just an area when the bone is forming in a child, it forms from a cartilage model that ossifies and mineralizes as they grow. And for whatever reason, in some kids, they don't. There's different theories as to why it happens, but they don't bridge that bone across on the back. A lot of kids will have that and be asymptomatic. If they become symptomatic, I usually will brace them with a brace for somewhere between 3 and 6 months and do physical therapy, and I would take them out of sport. Once you get them through that acute period, you're right, it never does heal, but oftentimes they will become asymptomatic and then can gradually return to sport, usually without issue.
Thank you, Aliza. Okay, now on to David in Little Falls. All right, David in Little Falls, your turn.
Hello, I'll try and keep this quick.
Well, you have to, although if you don't, we won't be on the radio with you. So make it real fast. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. I have chronic sciatica that goes back over 10 years, and the story is long, and I don't want to get into all that, I suppose, but I damaged both through L2 through L5. I've had MRIs and all that. I've had chiropractic. That didn't help. Acupuncture has reduced the occurrence of the sciatica, but I still have that chronically.
Okay, so the question, because we are out of time, David.
The question is fascia release. A friend told me about this. Is this something I should or should not try?
I don't know that I have a lot of great evidence for it, but what I would say is what I say to most patients. If you do it, if it doesn't make you worse and you think that you get benefit from it, I think it's definitely safe to do. If you
what
have
is it
sciatica.
Called? What's it called again? What's it called again, Dave?
Release.
Fascial. So I think it's a form of deep tissue massage.
Yeah,
myofascial release, and I think that's fine. I think it's safe to do. If you think it makes your symptoms worse, though, then I would avoid it.
How quickly would I know right away?
I it's hard to tell. I think each patient's different.
I see, because I've avoided even having shots. I was a little leery about that as well, but after all these years now, I'm thinking maybe I should give it a try.
Well, all your fellow back sufferers, me included, are very glad you called, and I hope you feel better, David. We're out of time now.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and thank
you
for the show.
Sure. We are out of time. My apologies to those people who are left on the line. There's only one, Sarah of Troy. I want to thank Dr. Joseph Popper of Nathan Litauer Hospital for being with us today. Support for the Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Joe Makowitz for answering the phones. Our producers, Jim Lavoulis, and I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Thank you, Dr. Popper. Stay tuned now for a news update.